live from the List Track Recording Studio. This is Email Marketing Today. Here are your hosts, Ross, Matt, and Brent.
Hi, and welcome to our seventh episode of Email Marketing Today. With me today is Matt Elliott. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing well, Brent. How are you?
All right, and also here we have Karen Nuss, an account manager with ListTrack. How you doing, Karen?
I'm good. How are you, Brent?
Doing pretty well here, and Ross is actually out of the office on vacation. I guess he's up in Canada having fun in the snow this week. Ross is out of the office, and we have Karen filling in here. We want to talk to Matt and Karen about the email experience conference that they were at here from February 9th to 11th. The Email Evolution Conference, is the actual title there. It was out in Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm sure you had some much better weather down there than we had up here right now.
Actually, we were expecting to have better weather, but they had 3 inches of rain the first day we got there, and it was chilly and breezy and unseasonably cool there.
Man,
it didn't get warm until my last day. It got warm. Karen was there a little bit longer than I was and was able to experience some of the warm weather, but that's not why we went, though.
Yeah, tough break, but I guess, So let's get to some of the information here. So the keynote, Stan Rapp, any big takeaways from the keynote there at the conference?
Well, absolutely. And, of course, his big discussion point was on, surprise, surprise, the economy and where email marketing falls into that. And he brought up some really interesting stats. He had a lot of, you know, stats and figures from the Direct Marketing Association and some other sources that he was quoting. But one of his initial quotes to get the thing started was to say that the email inbox is the beating heart of the internet. And he says that's because it's the tightest link ever forged between buyer and seller that we've ever had in direct marketing. And his other key point then was also that the shift has been happening for a while, and it's really becoming even more prevalent that advertising is just losing its place to direct marketing. One-to-one marketing is replacing advertising as the best means to drive sales and call to action. And he quoted some stats such as that 234 trillion emails were sent in 2007, and that number just continues to skyrocket. U.S. inboxes receive over 41 messages each day. The average U.S. inbox receives over 41 messages a day. Just amazing stats as to how active an important email is as a marketing channel.
Some of ours much, much, much more than that.
Yeah, definitely. I have some Yahoo accounts that probably get that an hour. But but one of the things that he had and was really stressing was knowing the value of what an opt-in means to you, knowing the value of an email address. And from there, you can do like some return calculations and do some other calculations for email marketers that are struggling to get budget out of their company. If you can show how much an email address is worth to your company, you can generate some buzz around, you know, some email acquisition programs. And then also on top of that, understand how much email is returning back to you on your investment so that you can bring that information back and help sell your programs, because it still seems to be kind of the forgotten stepchild of the marketing channels. But Stan's just totally on board with where email is moving towards and how important it is as a channel. And his quote, he quoted that a knowledgeable marketer, an active email address is worth $118. And so he ran some numbers and said, okay, so if you had a 100,000 person list and you had $118 per email address, what is that worth to you?
Right.
So
now, is that lifetime value, or would that be kind of on a lifetime value? Okay.
Yep. So that's a really interesting stat. Yeah. And so you could think, and so his example was, now, if you had a 10,000 person list, what does that mean to you? If you had a 100,000 person list, what does that mean to you? If you had a million qualified opt-in addresses, what does that mean to you? And so obviously there's a really important drive now to grow opt-in qualified permission-based lists because of what the value of those addresses are to you.
Keyword opt-in permission-based.
Absolutely.
Again, so that you're not affecting your list in a negative way.
Right. And this is an old school direct marketer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely touting and espousing the values and importance of opt-in.
And it's great to hear someone like that even continuing to talk about email being the heart, because, you know, sometimes you start to hear battles about, you know, social media versus email, and it all, you know, all comes together. You know, my Facebook and Twitter updates, you know, I get that through email, you know, so it's still kind of, you know, this intertwined, you know, it still is the heartbeat of what's going on out there in the internet.
Absolutely. And a lot of the sessions that they had at the conference were geared towards social media and its interplay with the other channels and where is it at in its, is it still an infant in the, or is it a toddler yet? You know, where is it coming, where is it at right now? And I'll talk about that a little bit more a little bit later. But one other stat I wanted to quote from a number that he had pulled out, which was just a telling statistic and the reason why I'm in this business. 87% of consumers cite email as their top reason to connect to the internet. So right there, you know, we're in the right industry at the right time.
Right.
But it's very important that those people that are doing email marketing are still thinking strategically about it. We talked about this a lot in our last podcast about, you know, don't abuse email marketing now. Still go about your business in a smart way.
Yeah, it's such a temptation right now. It's a huge temptation for the quick turnaround to not think about the long haul, to not think way ahead, but to think about the immediate return and really mess it up for yourself going forward.
Oh, sure. And then, Karen, you were sitting in on those sessions as well. What were some of your takes on?
Well, kind of back on Stan Rapp's keynote, he did mention the great email paradox where the most is the least, meaning the lowest amount of dollars are being put towards email marketing these days, which is interesting because I believe he also mentioned that email is the most pointed and profitable weapon in a marketer's arsenal today.
Right.
So you get the highest ROI with email marketing,
sure,
yet the lowest amount of dollars are being put towards it.
Now, did he talk at all about now, you know, with the economy the way it is, starting to see a shift? You know, I think, you know, us internally, we're starting to see that here, just, you know, from what we're hearing from customers and new customers. But any information on that out at the conference? Anything you're hearing?
Well, he talked about it, but he didn't necessarily. I didn't write any exact quotes down or dollar amounts or
sure.
whatnot. But there was an Advertising Age article, and it's actually the headline of Advertising Age. This is the magazine for advertisers that said. It was the title of the magazine was The Death of Advertising and how everything was going to direct marketing and that email is the most cost effective channel for that.
Yeah.
And all the other channels are really geared now to driving people either to a website or to a sign up list to email
right,
so that
right.
they can get into that personal communication stream. So right now, I mean, his quote that I wrote down is advertising's new role is to drive prospects to the web for memorable, relevant experience, with the key being relevant.
So speaking of relevancy, I attended one of the sessions that talked about Dell's product lifecycle and how they use email to manage that lifecycle. And they mentioned the six steps of relevance. The first one is developing a lifecycle roadmap. The second one is confirming that you do have key data available about your subscribers. The third one is define your business rules. How often are you going to email? How many different versions will you be emailing? The fourth one is establish your production process. Look at all the necessary resources that it's going to take to get that email sent out and then determine whether you have those resources available. The fifth one is test, test, and test and define what your performance indicators are going to be. And the last one they mentioned is actually to automate. And that's when you bring in the event-triggered messaging and you look at your suppression strategy and you kind of do that again and again for each step of the lifecycle process. Additionally, they talked about the six proven trigger programs out there. The first one being the welcome trigger. The second one being the abandoned shopping cart trigger. The third one is the non-responder trigger. Fourth one being the first time buyer trigger. The fifth one being a birthday or anniversary trigger. And the sixth one being a kind of a re-engagement, the we missed you trigger. And they found that these triggers often deliver the most ROI and engagement from a subscriber.
Yeah, I can see that. You know, it's those loyalty emails. It's those emails that, you know, it's a certain time in your life. It's a certain you're taking a certain action where your attention is at its peak. So yeah, that makes total sense.
Well, the real key to event triggered is timing,
mm-hmm.
and the reason all six of those are successful is because they're timed to an event, and they're not random. They're not spaced out like every other week or whatever. A welcome message sent right after sign up, very, very time critical. Abandoned shopping cart sent right after they determine that a shopping cart's been abandoned. I mean, so that the person's been engaged with the brand, they're actively still thinking about the brand. So when that email comes in, it's not coming as a surprise. They're not forgetting that they were there, and it's having the impact it's meant to have. Too often, as we've talked about before in some of these earlier podcasts, that, you know, a welcome message isn't sent, or it's sent too late, or there's no abandoned shopping cart program, or there's no kind of birthday or anniversary program involved, you know, to really establish that relationship when you can best, you know, pull that person into the relationship through a personal email. And so companies that aren't taking advantage of that are really falling behind the times. And just a little plug on our event-triggered marketing system that we're putting together, you know, for our customers, are going to be able to put these kinds of programs into place and let those events kick off that automation. I mean, the sixth step that she mentioned prior to that, as far as relevancy, is automation. And Dell does an amazing job with that, and it's really tied into their web analytics. I know when I go and visit their website and look at some products, if I hop out of there without putting anything in my cart, I'm going to get an email within a few hours with either some more information about that product, possibly a soft sell, but keeping me, you know, engaged in the brand and in those products, and not letting me have a chance to kind of like forget about it and move off into space when they've got me already kind of trapped in there.
Yeah, it's definitely something for ListTrack customers to really look forward to as far as the system that we're putting together. You know, I mean, you can do these things right now using the API. It's definitely, you know, a much more complicated process. So we have a feature that we're working on internally here, and we're looking around July to be launching that to our customer base. But it's going to be a real nice, easy way for you to actually set these event triggered conversations, you know, easily through a visual method.
Absolutely. And it's really something that our customers have been looking for. And there's a lot of clamoring and expectation in the market for that kind of application to work. So we're really excited about that.
Now, I heard a lot about one of the sessions out there. I believe it was called the Great Email Debate. Where there were some topics that were debated by some key guys in the industry. One of those items was the opt-in checkbox and whether that should be checked, pre-checked or not checked. What came out of that debate?
Well, what was neat about the debates was that they basically had a for and against argument. They had one person come up and do an argument for it or against it, and then the other person came up and gave the counterpoint of view. And then they were able to kind of like expand upon their views a little bit. And then they took an audience vote, and the audience also kind of threw out some additional questions or thoughts on the subjects. But so the debate was, do you pre-check opt-in boxes or do you not? And so the pros for pre-checking it is that obviously you're going to get much more rapid list growth. You're going to get more people on your list. And then the con, you know, the part against it, the argument against that is, they're not all going to be qualified, and it's kind of like the underhanded trick to get people on your list without actually making them take the effort of checking the box. And so there was a vote amongst the audience, and the audience voted to not check them because there's such a – I think there were enough people in there that have had deliverability problems
based on
complaints and other things that they understand that, yes, it will give you a bigger list, but the end run, the end result may not necessarily be the most effective list.
And that's always been our suggestion, kind of best practice wise, you know, to make sure you're not checking that box. But, you know, it does depend also, you know, if you just have a, you know, sign up for our newsletter and you're just capturing just the email address right up front, in a situation like that, you're saying it right up front, you're stating what they're doing. I don't think there's a need to have an additional checkbox, something like that. You know, there's one situation where it might not work, but especially if you're talking about a contest or checking out, going through any kind of form where it's not specifically just to sign up for a newsletter, you know, it's really important to actually make that action happen so that they're actively saying, yes, I'm signing up for this list. And you're going to have a much higher chance that they're not going to report you as abuse, report you as spam, and affect your deliverability or affect your reputation.
Absolutely.
So it looked like one of the other items that came up there was single opt-in versus double opt-in, another debate topic.
Yeah, that one kind of falls along the same line, you know, as to how are you growing your list. And single opt-in is pretty much the norm and the standard out there. And double opt-in requiring that the person that signs up for the list actually confirm via a second email, you know, via an initial email where they're presented a link to confirm their subscription to that list. though, again, the advantage to the double opt-in is that it's giving you a really clean, active, engaged list. It's also going to be a much smaller list. And, you know, the argument, and most people agreed, is that single opt-in is enough as long as you're providing a working opt-out mechanism and you're not abusing the list.
Yeah. And I think, again, that kind of goes back to the checkbox comment, where if you're actively checking off a box that says, I want to get this message, or I want to get this email going forward, I want to be on this list, is there really a need then to have the double opt-in? And there could definitely be an argument made against that. You know, you're actively saying that up front. So, you know, the more chances now you're giving them to miss that double opt-in, or you have some kind of deliverability issue with a double opt-in.
Sure.
I mean, you know, there's so many things that can happen there. So yep. I could definitely see that argument there. And then I guess the final debate was on whether or not you should cut inactives off of your list after a certain given time.
Yeah, and this was probably the liveliest debate, and it tends to be anywhere I go and talk about this with people in the industry, it's definitely there's really no gray area. A lot of people are pretty black and white about how they feel about it. And Dave Hendricks from Daytrend Media was the big proponent for keeping people on your list as long as possible. And there's a lot of valid reasons, and that might be they could be seasonal shoppers. You never know when that campaign that they're looking for is actually going to show up. And if you think, and I could kind of agree in the sense that if I think about all of the emails I get from all the different lists I sign up for, that there's a lot that I get that I just delete and ignore, and I'm waiting for that right one. So I would look like a disengaged,
sure,
you know,
right,
person until I finally see that right offer come along or the right relevant item come along. Now, the converse of that is, how much do you want to invest in continually emailing me, you know?
Sure.
And you, when you look at how inexpensive email is as a channel, kind of becomes, you know, you kind of see Dave's point is, you know, it's so cheap, why not spend that extra 3 or 4 cents or whatever it ends up being, you know, why not continue to email this person until you engage them or they remove themselves from the list or complain or whatever. Then there was the debate that, well, there's a cost to sending email, and there's also a risk to it, and that risk is that those old addresses could convert to honeypots, and you could run into some various deliverability issues and whatnot. So there was some lively debate on this topic as to which way to go, and we actually ended up modifying, the audience helped modify the final solution.
Really?
Because it wasn't cut them yes or no, it ended up becoming cut them over a certain time period.
Okay.
And not without first analyzing your list and the seasonality of your, I mean, there was some things that you had to take into effect. It's not
sure.
as black and white as the question made it seem. And so you really have to know your own list, know your product cycle, and take all these different factors into account. You know,
I think it really comes down to actually segmenting your list, not completely cutting them for good,
right,
but identifying those actives and inactives and talking to them differently. And, you know, I think that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the suggestions that I believe I saw come out of that in a blog post somewhere out of this debate was the suggestion of a yearly re-engagement email back to that segment, back to the unengaged segment.
Exactly. And that was one of the thought processes. Why don't we just try to re-engage them every year? And people that don't engage still kind of like segment them off into a different bucket and then talk to them maybe less frequently, with a different tone, and you know, and then establish your own rules as to how long you really want to keep somebody on your list.
Right. So Karen, what other takeaways did you have over there?
Well, I actually attended the Email Creative Fight Night with
that sounds fun.
Lisa Harmon as the referee. So that was pretty interesting. They actually three businesses submitted their emails for a redesign, and three agencies, EROI, Responsys, and Mighty Interactive, went up against each other to redesign each of the emails.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What was interesting is they did throw out some best practices when considering your email design and some things they said to consider, one being your brand, two being the inbox rendering, three being your recipients, four being your production process, and ultimately your marketing objectives. But at the end of the day, it's really the subscriber's opinion that matters. So if you find a design that works and you're getting highly engaged subscribers, to just kind of go with that. But the final, I believe, Mighty Interactive took 2 out of the 3 rounds as the winner for Best Designs.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was, you know, they also went over the elements of the email, the basic email, the pre-header, the header, the navigation, the table of contents, primary message, sub-message, recovery module, and the footer are all necessary things to have in a well-designed email to get the highest engagement.
Yeah, and Lisa Harmon's a really good one to be talking about that from the
Definitely.
Smith Harmon Agency. They ended up winning the Best in Class email competition award that the conference had, and they've done some really good things and really put a foothold in the market as to becoming like the subject matter experts in HTML design and helping a lot of companies out and redesigning. And Chad White, recently of the EEC, has joined the organization as well.
Yeah,
as
right. He just moved over there. Yeah.
Yeah, as one of their geniuses in residence, as I would call him. And and you can read Chad's blogs and posts. You know, he totally tracks what's happening in the email creative space. And he has a wonderful blog. If you look him up, Chad White with Smith Harmon. And
yeah, yeah. And our own Carrie posted out a blog entry on blog.listtrack.com just the other day on pre-header bloat. And how, you know, we're starting to, you know, we've been preaching so much about pre-header and how important it is, but now you're actually starting to see people put way too much into that area and pushing your main content way down the page. So it's an interesting read if you want to check that one out. So anything else, guys? Any other big takeaways from the conference?
One other debate I sat in with some of the key thought leaders in the industry ended up focusing a lot on data and talking about making sure that you have good access to your data, that you have good data, and that data drives everything in the overall experience. And you're going to need data if you're going to do anything advanced like dynamic content and other types of advanced segmentation and profiling of your recipients. And the real struggle is going to be in the future pulling together all the disparate data sources into a single data warehouse.
Yep, it's always
and
a
that
challenge.
There's David Baker from Razorfish mentioned that there's an opportunity down the road that he envisions where there's going to be hosted data warehousing that people are going to need to look at, because there's just so much data out there and you need to get it into a form that you can actually access it via your email program so that you can start doing smarter marketing.
All right. Anything more from you, Karen?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, we have a couple new things out on the ListTrack website that I want to talk about, and that's listrak.com, listrak.com. We have a new white paper out there, Streamlining Your Email Marketing Budget, Do More With Less. And in these tough times, there are some small changes you can make to your existing processes that could boost response or increase conversions from your audience. So you might want to check out that white paper. We also just recently had a webinar put on by Rob High, Winning New Business in This Recession, and you can check out that on-demand webinar on our site. You can also register for our next webinar coming up on March 4th from 1:30 to 2:30. That's going to be with Sandy Carter from IBM, and that one is entitled From a Whisper to a Scream, Marketing 2.0. We'll also be giving away 50 free copies of Sandy's new book, The New Language of Marketing 2.0, How to Use Angels to Energize Your Market. And those will be going out to random webinar attendees. Also, if you'd like to be notified of any of our white papers or webinars, you can join our mailing list by clicking on any of the Become an Email Marketing Expert links out on the ListTrack website. Or you can follow us at Twitter at twitter.com/ListTrack to keep up with the latest updates from us. Any last words from you guys here today?
No, just very excited. I know the economy's got a lot of people scared, but I think email as a channel is well positioned to continue to make strides and to help companies out, and just encourage people to continue to learn more about the channel and, you know, don't be afraid to dive in and start taking advantage of the best practices that are out there and see more email champions out there.
I agree.
Well, thanks, guys, for joining us. And thanks, Karen, for filling in here today.
Thanks, Karen.
Yeah, definitely.
You're welcome.
And thank you all for joining us. And we'll talk to you next time.